Hello, I'm Ian, and welcome to All In My Business. Later, I'll be talking to Sophia Keriako, an apprentice with IBM, to hear about apprenticeships. But first, one of our own ELR presenters from the Thursday night ELR Sports Show, who set up his own business. So I've got in the studio Charlie Rowe, who is a startup business guy. Tell us about your business, Charlie.
Yeah, thank you, Ian. Thank you for having me. My startup business, if you've listened to the ELR show, you've probably heard me mention it, and Steve, a few plugs, but my business is called Live Sport Talks. It came about last September, was our first event. Basically, the concept in a nutshell is I interview different British Olympians in a live venue, and people come along and listen. So I've had the likes of Joanne Jackson, who is a three-time Olympian swimmer, broke a world record as well in 2009. So that shows sort of the calibre of Joanne. I had Beth Tweddle, Britain's most successful gymnast, as a guest, talking about her career. And my most recent one in East London, so just down the road from here, I had three of the girls that won gold at Rio in hockey, Georgie Twigg, Holly Webb, and Shona McCallan. And Holly Webb was actually the one who scored the winning flick, so you might have even seen that on the TV.
Okay, so why did you decide to go into this? Obviously, I know you're a big sports fan anyway.
Well, basically, I work, my day job is, I've got a sport management degree. My day job is working for a university in the city of London, looking after conferences and venues, basically helping people run their events. So I've worked with the likes of PwC, BSI, Sky Sports, so all sorts of businesses. So I've learned a lot about how events are managed, and we had three international hockey tournaments at our venue that I look after, and also the finish line for the Oxford and Cambridge boat race. So, you know, just work with so many different companies. So I've rubbed shoulders with these guys, and I know how they work and how these large events work. I sort of had a bit of a moment where I was just like, I think everyone probably has it. You sort of look at it and go, do I really want to be doing this in 10 years' time? Probably not. I do enjoy it, don't get me wrong, there are perks for sure. So it made me really think what I wanted to do, and as you know, I'm a big sports fan. Me and Steve-O obviously do the ELR show every week, so we spend a lot of time watching sport. It's become, to be honest, sometimes I have to turn the TV off after watching three games of football and a basketball game. And I mean, I think the record was about four games in a week I attended.
Wow.
So I was just thinking, I love watching sport, I like writing about it. I'm gonna try and pursue it. Sport journalism, like any journalism, is very competitive. So I unfortunately didn't have the money to take on a master's degree or anything like that. So I've done some research, and what was evident that a lot of people want experience. So I thought, right, well, I'm just going to go out and get some experience. So hence I got in touch with ELR and started doing the ELR show. I've been published a few times, the New Recorder a few times, London 24, the British Basketball website. Which is all good for my experience. I was writing stuff, they're sending it back, all free. You know, this is all voluntary at this stage.
Yeah.
Telling me to do this. And for me, it was all learning, you know. I didn't take it personally that my writing wasn't quite up to standards. But, you know, they sent it back, and I learnt a lot about it, and I really enjoyed it. But it was getting tough to sort of do the day job as well as do that and try and make that career. So I then thought, I might try and, why not mix the two up? So do these interviews at an event. I mean, we're not, yeah, I'm not the first person to do it. Guardian Live, obviously, around, and they do some great, fantastic talks with sort of great politicians and a few sports people. But I was like, well, I know sports, so I dedicated mine to sports, really. And that was last May. I was lucky enough to get a sort of a startup loan grant off GLE, and that came with sort of a package of a mentor,
okay,
who just sort of helped me through every step of the way. I basically started from scratch. From designing the logo, well, I didn't design it, but I got someone to design it, building the website, building the contacts, attending endless events, doing my market research. I've learned a huge amount doing it, rough and smooth for sure.
What's been the hardest thing to learn?
The hardest thing to learn, the social media, I found challenging. I've been very lucky to have Steve helping with that. He really is a bit of a wizard with that stuff. It's just stuff like I've managed to get subscribers' email lists, because email marketing, from my research, is one of the biggest ones.
Yeah.
If you can sort of get as many email subscribers, 80% will delete probably without looking, but that 20%, if they engage with it and, you know, buy a ticket or buy your product off the back of that. I mean, if you've got 100,000 subscribers, you know, you're in with a shout. So I was building up a subscribers list, and I was doing the MailChimp, and I'm doing all these, spending half an hour on these fancy shots with all the photos, and I realised, and then I looked into it, and it said, like, right, send it between these times for the best sort of best chance of people opening it and really engaging with it.
Yeah.
So I'd done all that stuff, and I put myself in the list as well, so I'd receive it, and I kept receiving emails at like 2 a.m. 3 a.m. and obviously they were all getting deleted because people were what is going on? I'm setting it for 10 a.m.
yeah,
on Monday or whatever it was, and I realised it was in American time. Stuff like that, just little things. And also Team GB, the media team, they helped me promote the event, and they said, right, send us a link and we'll tweet it out to our, you know, our million followers. I put the wrong code in. And it's just gut-wrenching, really.
Yeah.
It's all learning.
Yeah. Well, it's refreshing to hear people admit to their mistakes.
Yeah.
We all do it. We all make mistakes on the journey. Yeah. So, okay. So, you've had, what, three, four events now?
Yeah, three events. Yeah, I'm still working on my next one. Nothing's finalised yet, but this is quite the fun bit, really, sort of working out who you want to get next.
Yeah.
Speaking with the agents isn't great fun, to be honest.
All right.
You know, listening to what you feel people will want to hear, especially the time of year as well. So three events so far. September, I done one in London with Joanne, went up to Manchester, which was tough as well, that was another lesson. Right. And then London in March.
Yeah, what sort of venues do you have?
I've used three very different venues. First one, I used a school hall, which was good. I mean, another lesson I learned here was I booked out the big hall thinking I'd sell X amount of tickets. Didn't sell X amount of tickets. Luckily, they gave me a smaller hall.
Right.
But the trouble is, the smaller hall was sort of across the other side, so I had to work out the signage to sort of point people in the right way.
Yeah.
A lot of the feedback was, oh, we couldn't find it that well. So,
oh, dear.
Like,
well,
that.
You're learning at least.
Massively, yeah.
Yeah. So where do you see this going? Is it going to become, say, a monthly thing?
That is the dream. I mean, ideally, that's how I wanted to do it, bi-monthly to start with. However, with marketing and sort of selling tickets and promoting it, I've really worked out that you need 2 to 3 months. Because I'm a one-man band, you know, it's literally just me sending emails, making calls, going to events, flying. If I had a sort of a 10-man sales team who could man the phones 9 to 5 Monday to Friday,
yeah,
I could probably sort of do the events every month, but unfortunately at this stage we can't do that. But I just want to keep doing them, keep growing.
Yeah.
I've got a couple of good ideas. A few people, agencies and organisations have really sort of bought into it and have helped me with the speakers. I've got one that hopefully will happen in August time, which will be really exciting. But again, he's in America. I mean, I can't say who he is for his reason, but he is in America, and the season's just finished. So I'm really just sort of waiting for his schedule to be released, and if he can spend 2 hours of one evening when he's in London with me, that would be fantastic, because that would be our event.
Yeah. Do you record them? Do you film them?
Yes, we do. Yeah. Again, Steve's a man for that.
Okay.
We got the whole podcast version of the third event, which is on SoundCloud, which has had quite a few hits, and also filming. We put it on YouTube. The Q&A is completely on YouTube. We also do like the live, we do it through our live Facebook as well, which had quite a few hundred hits, which is really cool. The next event, I've been looking at maybe doing a live stream for the website.
Right.
But again, that's been a lot of sort of Googling, how can we do it, how can we be sort of cost effective. And, but I think that would be a great way to go as well.
Mm, brilliant. Okay, so how can people find out more about your business?
The website's up. It's www.livesporttalks.com. You can even subscribe on the right hand side. There's a little box that even pop up, actually, so you can pop your email in. Don't worry, I don't email you 4 times a day with random stuff trying to sell you trainers or whatever. Some of these websites you get, don't you?
Yeah,
it's just every now and then I send you a message about the next event. We also do little coupons as well, so if you get an email, you can get 20% off and stuff. We do like special Friday offers as well, so yeah, you can subscribe. I've also done a dedicated blog to my sort of journey of being a startup. That is the highs and lows of a startup business .blogspot.com. If you Google the highs and lows of a startup business, I'm sure, hopefully I'll be in the first page. I am in the first page, actually, I checked the other day. So,
brilliant. Okay.
I'll try and make I try and be as honest as possible about them, like I've tried to be today, about the mistakes I've made.
Yeah.
I think it's quite important, especially being I'm a very new startup. There's people that were me a year ago that haven't even done anything yet, so...
yeah, it's refreshing, that honesty. Yeah. we don't often get that honesty, so well done for that. And yeah, we wish you well.
Thank you.
So good luck with everything.
Appreciate your time. Cheers.
Okay. Make sure you catch Charlie with Steve Porter on Thursday night's ELR Sports Show from 7 p.m. And for the next All In My Business, we're looking for bloggers and vloggers. If you're an influencer, please drop me an email at ian@eastlondonradio.org.uk. Our next conversation is with Sophia from IBM. I'm joined in the studio by Sophia from the Brathay Challenge. Now tell us what that's all about.
So the Brathay Challenge is where different a group of 9 apprentices from different companies come together and compete against each other to see who can raise the most awareness about apprenticeships. Myself, I'm actually an apprentice from IBM.
Okay.
And so me along with 9 other colleagues, we're part of the Brathay Challenge this year, 2017. And we have been selected as the Southeast region winners.
All
and
right.
We are now into the finals.
Okay.
And so we're still trying, we're in the competition still to raise as much awareness as we still can.
Yeah.
And hopefully win, if not persuade more young people to understand and see that there are other options apart from university.
Yeah. Okay, so what's your background? So you did A-levels, then you didn't go to university.
Yeah, so I did triple science and maths at A-levels because when I was younger, I was all the whole of, I want to go to medicine, this whole career. And then when I went to a few placements within medicine, I noticed that it's not really the career for me. I find I'm a bit squeamish. So.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah.
So in the end, I started just having different work experience, either a week or two at different places, to kind of get an idea of other career paths that I can take.
Yeah.
And then I did a bit of volunteering at an accountancy firm, and that's what got me into business. And from there, I applied to several apprenticeships and universities.
Okay.
And when I got a positive response from IBM, so it was just a perfect opportunity. I can carry on learning and getting paid without getting any, having to have a loan.
How long have you been on the scheme then?
So I've been 2 years now.
Okay.
So, but I joined IBM on the Level 4 Business Apprenticeship Scheme. But this year I've moved over to the Degree Apprenticeship Scheme, which is a new scheme within IBM where you go to university as well as go to work.
All right, I see.
So it's a bit of a win-win. You get to go to university without the whole the fees, and you get the whole university life and experience, as well as still going to work and getting paid.
So you spend time in IBM itself?
Yes.
As well as, right.
Yes, that's
so
correct.
So what sort of experiences have you had at IBM?
Because IBM, as most people know, is a tech company, but myself, I'm not as techie as you would call it. I'm more on the business side of the company.
Oh, okay.
So in my previous role, I was more of the finances and the contracts. And recently I've moved on to sales and reporting.
Oh, so you get a feel for the different parts IBM, and it's not all techies. There's a lot more going
definitely.
On.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Okay, so what's the plan from here?
So for... Excuse me, for myself or
Yourself, yeah.
So I've just completed the first year of my degree apprenticeship.
Okay.
And I've got 2 more years left. And once I graduate, I'm hoping to move on into the business full time and stay there. And I'd like to think that by then I'll have had all the experiences and I'll know what career I want to follow from there on.
Sure.
And I think that's actually something really good out of apprenticeships, because you don't come out of university and get stuck into one job that you've applied to. You can go into the company straight from school, try different rotations, different roles. And I think because I'm more of someone who learns by experience and trying things out, by actually doing that role for a few months or a year, I get the experience and understand if that's something I want to carry on or if that's something I want to do long term, short term, or even something I don't want to try again. So
Well, it's been a really good experience, has
yeah,
it, for
definitely.
You? And you'd recommend to others?
Definitely. I think it's more if, because I know there's so much, because I was, when everyone was like 17, 18 year old, there's always the pressure of, you've got to go to university, what career are you going to do? And it's just, you don't know because you haven't had that experience. So apprenticeships are always, I would suggest it for those who are not sure what they want to do, to go for an apprenticeship. Because at the end of the day, even when you do complete your apprenticeship, you might decide you want to go back to university, and that's absolutely fine. But you still have that experience that it's of something you don't want to do in your life, or even it, for myself, like you can have the, for myself, I have IBM on my CV now.
Yeah.
And I'm sure anyone else with other, at other apprenticeships can have the same opportunities. So having, and I think it's more like lots of employers now are actually looking for experience over qualifications. So I think apprenticeships do provide that for young people.
Fantastic. So how can people find out more about the apprenticeships at IBM? Is it quite easy to find online?
Yeah, so all the companies, if you actually go onto their job vacancies and applications, so big companies like IBM, Unilever, Pearson, they all have provide apprenticeships.
Right.
And if young people are not sure, they can always speak to their careers advisors at school. UCAS, they're really good in helping out. And I think just either relatives and friends, so you'll be quite shocked how many people actually know about apprenticeships, but they just don't speak about it to others because they just assume that other people are not interested.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we wish you well.
Thank you very much.
Whatever happens, all the best of luck from everyone here.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sophia. Thanks very much for listening. If you'd like to talk business, please get in touch. My email again is ian@eastlondonradio.org.uk.